see some of the things that are going on in Phoenix, I hope that you're remembering that it is God that has done these things through us, with us, and that he has opened a door of faith to the people down in Phoenix that we've been working with. And it is all to God. And for some of us, you know, to take up Bible class, we're saying, well, we're not studying the Bible, but we are assembled together and we are learning about what God has been doing, and get a chance to see that here tonight. And so we're very thankful for all of you that came tonight to be here and to assemble together, and that we have a chance to share with you the work that we've been trying to do in Phoenix. My wife and I, we have been doing this since 2002, like Chris said. But for some of you that don't know my story, I was born and raised on the Navajo Indian Reservation in northern Arizona. And so I think I was 18 years old before I realized that I was white. You know, it was a very difficult thing. When I went to college, there were a lot of white people in Denver. You know, I was not used to that. But no, seriously, I was raised on the Navajo Reservation, and my parents were missionaries there from 1973 until 1997. And so I was raised in a missionary family on the Navajo Reservation. My wife is from the Philippines, even though people speak Navajo to her, but she is from the Philippines. And we met in college at the University of Denver. But after graduating, we went back to Kayenta. We preached there and did the Lord's work, following in my dad's footsteps for 9 years. And we helped the church there. And the church is continuing to do well. We've been gone about 3 years now, 4 years, coming up 3.5 years, I guess. We've been gone from Kayenta, and the work is continuing to go well there. I did a couple of years working with Bear Valley Bible Institute and helping to train preachers in Africa, but I really had a desire to get back and work with the Native American people. When I did the work in Africa, as I evaluated the work, it was a great work, good things training preachers. But as I looked at it and I looked at my role, I said, you know what, I feel like there's other people that could do what I do. But as I looked to the Native work, I said, I don't know a lot of people that can do what I can do because of my unique upbringing of being raised on the reservation. So I decided to go back, and this time I wanted to go to Phoenix and to see, because we knew of a need that was in Phoenix. And we didn't really know how big of a need until we started doing some research. And if you look at the statistics on here, there says that over 60% of all Native Americans now live in metro areas, metropolitan areas. I don't know how it is in Oklahoma, but in Arizona, the unemployment rate is about 40%. And then the poverty rate is about 70% on the Navajo Reservation. So you just don't have jobs that you can, or if you do have a job, you're making minimum wage. It's very challenging to have a job. So almost everybody ends up, it seems like, in Phoenix. You're going to hear me say that a couple of times. It just seems like, it doesn't matter what tribe, if it's Apache or Hopi or Zuni, it just seems like everybody ends up in Phoenix. That's where the jobs are. That's where the colleges are at, and even family members that have gone down there before. So Phoenix became kind of like this hub, and we saw that as we did the research, over 130,000 natives that live just in the Phoenix area. Now, when we were in Kayenta, we were on the Navajo Reservation. The Navajo Reservation is bigger in the state of West Virginia. So it's a huge place, and there are about 200,000 Navajos that live right in that area of the four corners of Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah. About 200,000, but that's spread out over a huge amount of space. Well, when we looked at this, we said 130,000 in Phoenix. Now, granted, Phoenix, it takes a while to drive from one end to the other, but you're still within about an hour's drive that you've got a higher density or more natives living in 1 hour's drive than anywhere that I know of in America. And that's why we said Phoenix would be a place that we could do the Lord's work. And as you look here, a map of Phoenix, big Phoenix metropolitan area, the fat lines are the freeways. And if you look, there's a kind of a loop down here around Mesa and Tempe on the southern part, southeast part of Phoenix. And then you've got this other freeway that loops here. And so you've got kind of this bottleneck right here. And so it's almost like a bow tie where it's big on both sides and comes together in the middle. And so when we started looking at this, we said, how does this all work out? Well, one of the reasons that this is the case is because there's a big mountain right here called South Mountain. So that limits your roads. But the other reason is this yellow, if you see this yellow coloring right here, this is the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community. Basically, the Salt River Pima Reservation comes right down into the heart of the middle here. And as we looked at, we tried to say, well, where are the Native Americans at in the city? And I broke it down in freeways. So in this area, there are 24,000. In this area, there were 19,000. Right here, 18. This freeway, 24. You get the point. And so they're all over the city. You know, natives are kind of spread out all over the city. But what I looked at is I said, you've got a reservation here that comes right down into the middle. All the freeways come to this intersection or kind of this bottleneck area. And I started looking at the kind of a 1 or 2 mile radius right around this middle part. And there's about 30 to 40,000 Native people that live right there in that location. So we said that's where we're going to try to focus at, and that arrow is where we are currently meeting on Sundays. And so we rent a place on the Salt River Pima Reservation right here, and so it's within about 30,000 Natives that live just right in this area. As you look at a couple of things, I didn't show up, but yes, right there it is. I didn't see it. Hope you can see it. Do you see this ASU? That's Arizona State University. ASU is currently, this year, the largest university in America. 66,000 students are there. And then next to them is Mesa Community College and then Scottsdale Community College. And notice how they are just right here within our proximity of where we want to work at. So just those colleges, there's many other colleges around the valley, but just between those three colleges, there's about 10,000 Native Americans that are between the ages of, 18 and 25 years old. And that is an age group that we would really like to focus on, because as we look at Phoenix being sort of a mecca where a lot of people come to, then what our long-term goal is if we can hopefully get some of these college age kids and young natives, that if we can get them converted to Christ, then we feel like we can make a difference to the other reservations without me being there personally. Without me living on the Navajo Reservation or without me going to the Apache Reservation, what if we were able to convert them because they're all coming there, and then if we can get them excited and go back home? Because in a sense, that's really what happened to me. I wasn't interested in preaching at all, but I was up in Denver for my schooling. And it was in Denver that I really fell in love with the Lord. And when I looked back home, I could see a need. And I said, I need to go back home and help the people that I grew up with. And so that's my goal, is that when people are there and they fall in love with the Lord, they'll look at the Apache Reservation and say, the Lord's church doesn't even exist on my reservation. The Hopis, if we can convert some of them, they'll say the Lord's church doesn't even exist on the Hopi Reservation. The Navajos that will look up and say, man, in my hometown, the Lord's Church doesn't exist there. And so that's the goal of what we would like to try to do. And that's why we picture ourselves being there a long time, is we feel like this is going to be a way to help the reservations. The other thing that we look at is obviously not everybody is going to be a preacher, but some of these people are coming down to become school teachers and get their education and skill level. Well, if we can convert them down in Phoenix, and when they go back to the reservation, now the churches that are there, we can say, hey, we've got Sue that's coming up, you know, and she's going to be a school teacher in Winter Rock or in Kayenta. You know, look for this sister, help her move in, help, you know, get connected. And hopefully we can prepare Susan to say, they're going to need your help. They need you to help teach these Bible classes, and they're going to need you to help serve. You're going to be one of the few. That's what we're hoping will happen. And then when you've got those people that are Christians up on the reservation, and because of a job, now they're having to move to Phoenix, they'll call from Winter Rock and say, hey, Josh, we've got this sister that's moving down there, and boom, she can get plugged right in. Because how many of you have heard of stories where people move to a new city and kind of get lost in the shuffle, and they said, oh, we never got tied into a church? Anybody ever have that happen? Well, if you have those personal connections, that's what we're hoping to keep, that faithfulness. Because when we were in Kayenta, we, at one point, half the congregation left. We were averaging about 45 in Kayenta, and about half the church moved to Phoenix. Why? They got jobs down there, you know? And so, but a lot of them ended up becoming unfaithful. A lot of them just were like, oh, we just didn't quite fit in, you know, just didn't quite work out. And so that's where we started with when we got down to Phoenix. One of the sisters is Stephanie. She was in Kayenta when we first went there in 2002. She was there in our home when we first got started in 2002, right there in our living room with her and her daughters. And then she was one of them that moved down to Phoenix. Well, when we got a hold of her through Facebook and all these different things, and we said, we're going to come down and we want to start a new church. And she says, I'm there. So it's kind of ironic that she was there when we first got the church started in Kayenta, and then she was there when we first got started in Phoenix as well. So Stephanie is a great Christian sister, and she's got four daughters. Two of them are Christians, and two of them are not. And we have been able to see her grow tremendously since she has come back down, and you could tell that her life had gotten off course, and she is back on track and doing great. Her second oldest daughter is Mikey, and she was a Christian, but again, got into the world, and this is her boyfriend at the time, Ramon, and he was very reluctant to want to come to Bible class and the Bible study, but Mikey said, this is my new life. This is the way I was raised, and this is what I want to get back to. And so he's like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So he studied with us probably 6-7 months, and then he finally came to obey the gospel. And a couple of months after that, they made the decision that they wanted to get married. And so we have a young couple. I think they're 21 years old, and they're newlywed, and we're very excited for them. But obviously, as new married couples, you're trying to learn the ways that God wants you to live, and that can be a challenge. So keep them in prayer. So he was one of our new converts that obeyed the gospel. Another lady is Arlinda. Arlinda is a pretty neat story because she was one of the few that was raised in a Christian home on the reservation. She went to, she may have gone to Oklahoma Christian University, and now she works in the health field, but she was up on the reservation working, and she got a job transfer to, guess where? Down to Phoenix. And so she's working down in Phoenix, And so she had just moved down there, and Terry up in Fort Defiance, he said, Josh is moving down there to start a new work, and we asked her if she would help us. She said, yeah, I'd love to help you guys get this going. And you can see her oldest daughter next to her, Jessica, and her husband, Matt. Matt is from Kayenta. We converted his mom when we were up in Kayenta. And they met at church camp and got married at the age of 18, 19. They have a one-year-old son, so they have recommitted their lives to Christ. But this is Richard. And so it's really neat that we've got a young couple there, another young married couple that is working on their life of raising Richard in the Lord. Next to them is his cousin, Eli, and he comes off and on, but with the relationship there, he's opening up a little bit and starts to visit. And these two guys, all three of them, are cousins, but he's from a different sister. Stenson Osif is, I want to spend a little bit of time because his mom and dad were converted in Kayenta, and they were one of the real strongholds in the church. Man, you talk about workers, they got things done, and Stenson was in seventh grade when his parents became Christians. So he didn't become a Christian in Kayenta. It wasn't until he moved to, you got it, Phoenix, right? And he went to school down there, got connected with one of the congregations and obeyed the gospel when he was in Phoenix. And I texted him one time and I said, how would you like to help me start a new work on the reservation down there? He said, man, that would be great. So he was he's recommitted his life. And as somebody that's 22 years old, he really steps up and does a great job of helping us. This Sunday, in fact, he's going to be preaching, and he leads singing. He reserves the building for us, all kinds of things. Stenson is the man that helps get a lot of that stuff done. So we're very encouraged with Stenson. This is Evan and Crystal. They're here with us, if you met them. They're not sitting together, but they love each other, I promise. But this is little Chase and their son, Chase. Evan, this is a pretty neat story, just to kind of see the way God works in people's lives. But when he was a kid, he used to ride the Joy Bus with my parents, right? So with my parents, when they were there, he rode the Joy Bus. His mom rode the Joy Bus. And so all those years of my parents being there, we're still seeing fruit from some of those efforts. So his mom rode the Joy Bus, and then Evan rode the Joy Bus. And when he graduated high school, he went, guess where? To Phoenix, right? He went to ASU. And so very, very intelligent, several academic scholarships and pursuing sports medicine and physical therapy, those types of things. And we got a hold of him because he was also one of those kids that used to worship at our house when we first got started in Kayenta, right there in our living room. And so after he got into college, starts going his own way. But when we got down there, he said, you know, we need to start studying. And so we did. And last October, he and Crystal obeyed the gospel. And so they obeyed the gospel last October. And so we are very excited about them. And so when we look at the way God works, it's amazing. And so they obeyed the gospel in October. And 3 months later, something that you just, you never know about what life will happen. 3 months later, Chase came down with a type of meningitis that killed him within 5 days. And so you talk about a devastating blow to not only Evan and Crystal, but everybody that was connected with Chase. It touched so many people's lives. And what's amazing is you had this couple that was 3 months old in the faith, and they were standing like rocks. People kept looking to them saying, how are you guys handling this the way you're handling it? And they just kept saying, if it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't be able to do this. And there are some verses that you could hear it being repeated in their minds, that Chase is in a better place. You know, God promises that those children are in his hands. And you could hear those verses that they had latched on to some of God's promises. And that was allowing them to stand like they were. And you talk about an influence. And I haven't seen it since one of the guys in Kayenta, Terry Lawrence. But that first night, that there's kind of like a family meeting, and there were about 60 people that showed up, family members, college buddies, friends, loved ones. They all showed up, and I remember that they were sharing what had happened and people just wanting to know and wanting to give their support. But I remember Evan standing up and just basically preaching to these 60, 70 loved ones, saying, we know where Chase is at. And we know the reason that you guys are here is because you love Chase and you love us. But the only way you're going to see Chase is through Jesus Christ. God has promised us where Chase is at, but he hasn't promised where you're going to be at. We have to choose to follow Christ. And man, in my heart, I'm hurting, you know, because you're hurting for the loss, but in my heart, I'm just so proud, because here he is to his comrades and his fellow classmates and family members and everybody, and just proclaiming Christ and saying, this is the only way. People that had no interest in Christianity were coming up and asking him, I think I want to look into this. I want to look into what you're believing. You have something that I don't have. And I want to show you, before I move on, I don't have a picture of their daughter. What I didn't know is Crystal was 6 months pregnant when Chase died. And so she was pregnant with their daughter, and they decided to name her Faith. And so Faith is with us tonight, and you'll have to get a chance to see her. And she's such a pleasant little girl, and so this is another young family, another young married couple that is trying to live for the Lord. And Evan, while we're on this topic, is since that time he has continued to grow in his faith and continue to just evangelize and study and to continue to hold on even through the most difficult times. And it's not easy. Any of you that have done this, that have lost a dear loved one, grieving and mourning is not easy. But this couple just has continued to lean on the Lord, and we're very, very thankful for them. And I've talked to Evan a couple of times, but just within the last couple of months, he's made the decision that he wants to pursue ministry full time. And so He was offered a general manager position at a hotel that he's been working with for several years, and he told them, I've got something else that I'm pursuing. And so he is going to be working with me very closely, kind of like an apprenticeship over the next year. And then next August, his goal is he would like to start at Bear Valley. And I wanted him to see what it was like to talk with supporters. And then we're going to be going to Polishing the Pulpit. It's a lectureship in Tennessee. Starts on Friday, and we're going to be trying to raise support for him because he's cutting back his hours so he can step more into ministry roles, helping me start a campus work at ASU with his familiarity. And then he wants to learn to do Bible studies and just become more knowledgeable in the Word. So be praying for this young couple. We're very, very proud of them. And they've got some big plans. And I was at a Native American missions conference 2 weeks ago, And these guys are from like the 60s that have been doing mission work. And I said, when was the last time you knew of a 23-year-old Navajo man that was ready to enter preaching? I said, can you guys remember the last time? They said it's been 20 or 30 years since we've had anybody like that. So we want to get behind this young couple and pray for them and give them all the support because, Lord willing, they will have decades of work ahead of them that can impact the kingdom in ways that we never could. And so we're very excited for them. I want to show you some of the impact they've already had. This is Crystal's sister, Brianna, and her fiancé, DeCoven. And DeCoven was raised Mormon. He's from the Navajo Reservation as well. And he was raised Mormon and kind of got into that saying, I don't want anything to do with religion until Chase's funeral. And when he saw the way that Evan and Crystal were handling it, and they were living together. They were all living together. So Chase was like, I mean, that's his nephew, you know. And so it impacted him. And Evans has really been instrumental in leading this young couple. And now they have both obeyed the gospel. So Evan was able to teach them and baptize them into Christ. And now they have a baby that's 3 weeks old. So Ellie is a little girl that's 3 weeks old. And so they are working on their marriage, getting married here very shortly. That should be taken care of. So that would be another young family that we have. Another couple that were living in the world and not very interested in religion until Chase died. And they were at the funeral. And they said that funeral opened their heart. And from January, February, all the way till June, they were kind of lost in their life. And but that funeral kind of cracked it open just a little bit. And in June or July, I forgot when it was, June maybe, they called us up, Divine and I, and they said, we need to talk to somebody now. 11 p.m. at night on a Saturday. And we're like, you know, can it wait or do you need to see somebody like now? And they're like, now. Well, they came over and were there till about midnight. And they came to worship the next day, and they have not missed since then. They come every time the doors are open. And I didn't realize this, but Evan, they played football together as well as Stenson. So they're from Kayenta. Divine was her cheerleader coach when Divine was in Kayenta. And so they just obeyed the gospel about 2 weeks ago. And so they are new brothers and sisters in Christ as well. So another young couple that we're looking to try to work with and new in the faith. But you can see the impact that Evan and Crystal have already had. And that's not even including her two other sisters that have just started coming and her husband and their children. I think, I don't know, eight people already that have been influenced because of the impact and the influence of Evan and Crystal in their faith, and even more that we might not even know of. So you can see the things that the Lord is doing. There was another, you're talking about how do you get started? You know, how do you get started in a brand new place like Phoenix? You start with people that you know. And there's a preacher on the Navajo Reservation, and his daughter and her husband live in Phoenix. They worship at the Tempe Church of Christ, and we told them what we were trying to do. And they said, hey, we'll have Bible studies at our house on Tuesday nights. We're like, great. So we started doing Bible studies, and since she's already a Christian, it was a comfortable environment. Well, she invites her two co-workers, Jen, who's from Phoenix, and she's not native, but she's a soul. And then you've got Ellen, who is from the Hopi Reservation, but they're co-workers, and so they started coming to the Bible studies. And after studying with them, they became Christians, which has been great because Jen is really grown a lot, and she is wanting to, she is actually flying out to Tennessee for the lectures and doing a great job in her faith. And Ellen, she, this is her four children. She's a single mother. And this is her oldest, Sydney, and she taught her daughter, and now her daughter became a Christian. I think she's 15 or 16 years old. And Ellen is one of those single moms that just, you talk about working hard. She works full-time, and then her oldest son, Bailey, is special needs. He was hit in the head when he was 2 years old, I think, with a golf ball, and it caused brain damage to the point that he started having epilepsy, and the epilepsy got so bad that they had to, that after all the everything, they tried everything, it got so bad that they had to remove part of his brain, and that has caused just, you know, the paralyzing and several different things. But you talk about a mother that has been through it. She has been through it. And we're very thankful that that she comes, and keep her in prayer. Really, it's a challenge with her. She works on Sundays, so she misses out on a huge part of what it is to be a Christian. So keep her in prayer that that might continue to grow. This is Dean Dallas, and he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. Dean lives on the other side of town, and he's a Hopi guy, but there's a brother from another congregation, Nate Phillips, who works in the health field, and he said, Josh, I got this guy that's one of my clients. He had a stroke about 10 years ago, so he's on disability, and he said he's open to studying, and he's a Hopi guy, and I told him about you guys' new work, and I said, hey, we'll study. So we started studying with him, and he ended up obeying the gospel. And it's just amazing the way God places certain people all over to bring this all together. And Dean is about 50 years old, never been married, no kids, but a very intelligent, very sharp guy. And he is going to be teaching the Bible class, the adult Bible class, this coming Sunday. And when I asked him if he would teach, he's like, man, I've been waiting for that. He goes, I've been waiting. He goes, hey, this is a great chance. And I tell you, he is studying. This past Sunday, he came up and he goes, man, I never realized how great this is. You know, you just keep studying and there's more and there's more. And he said, I want to do this, you know, to my family. And I want to help them to come to know the truth as well. This is another single man. This is Juan. He is a Papago Indian, and he lives on the Salt River Reservation. His wife was Salt River Pima, but she died about 10 years ago. His daughter, their only daughter, died about 5 years ago. So he's by himself, and we were door knocking with Bear Valley out on the reservation, door knocking all over. And you know how door knocking is. It's hit and miss, kind of. Well, I get a phone call, and Albert's from somewhere around here in Oklahoma City. But anyway, he goes, Josh, there's a guy ready to study right now. And so I go over there, and sure enough, he has pages and pages of notes. His niece gave him a King James Bible, and English is his second language, so he would read in the King James Bible, and he'd come across a word that he didn't understand. So he would pull out a piece of paper, and he'd write that word down, get a dictionary, and he'd write down the definition of that word. But in the definition, there were words that he didn't understand. So he'd take that word and write it down, and then look it up in the dictionary and write that word's definition down. So he'd have to learn this definition of that word so he could understand this definition, so that he could then in turn understand the Bible. And he had pages and pages of notes. This man was searching for the truth. And when we studied with him, he came to obey the gospel, and you will not find a more humble man. And just a great guy that wants to serve, wants to learn, And he never misses. I mean, he never misses at all. And so just a great heart. We love him very much. This is another young man, Reggie Totticini. This is Evan's cousin. And Reggie's mother is a Christian from Kayenta. And his grandmother was one of the original Christians that my parents helped to convert back in the 70s. And so he comes from a long line of Christians. And Reggie came down and went to college and kind of got away from the Lord. And this is his girlfriend, Tia. She is Apache, a White Mountain Apache. And she grew up kind of going to some different denominations, but was really done with religion, just kind of like turned off. And so it took a while. For almost a year, they weren't really coming or kind of hit and miss. And then her schedule changed. And now she was able to start coming. And they were really studying. And she was telling me all these things that she was reading in the Bible. And so about 2 weeks ago, she obeyed the gospel. And so we're really excited for her and Reggie, another young couple. Reggie's a brother that's been restored. And so I don't know if you've kept track, but we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 young Christians that are between the ages of 19 and 25. So probably over half of our adults are under the age of 25. And so it's really a unique situation that the Lord has placed in our laps. And we're really excited about that and all that is happening. It's hard to believe that we just started a year ago. Last July, we met in our home. And started just trying to contact people that we knew. And now we are averaging somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40 people. The Salt River Church of Christ did not exist a year ago. But now the Salt River Church of Christ is going to be worshiping this Sunday with Stenson Osif preaching and Dean Dallas teaching the Bible class. And the other young men are going to be leading the singing and leading the Lord's Supper. And there's no outside help. It's the Lord's church right there in Salt River that's doing the work. And so we're very thankful to God and all that he is doing. And you get a chance to see. I would love to tell you even more stories of how this continues to spread out. But our time is going to limit us. I wanted to share a few things. This is where we first started meeting, in our home. We just met in our home, and you can see Evan and Crystal and Chase right there. And we just gathered up chairs and started worshiping. And the largest assembly we've had was one Sunday. We had 52 show up for worship. We had 52. That was a potluck Sunday, by the way. So, but We had lots of people that came and packed house, you know, just everybody's all over the place, but it's great. We've got a lot of young kids, lots of visitors, and so it's really been good. And the way we say it is we're primarily trying to reach the Native Americans, but not Native Americans only. You know, we don't want to, the gospel is for all, but there is a, When I looked at the research, when we said there's 130,000 natives in Phoenix, when I first did the research, I started calling all the different congregations. There were about 30 in Phoenix. And we call them, and I'm saying, do you know about how many Native Americans might be worshiping in your congregation? And obviously, you don't know everybody's background, but just a rough guesstimate. And to the best that I could find out, there were somewhere maybe 10 or 15 Christians in all of Phoenix that were Christians, Native American Christians. 10 or 15. I mean, that's the percentages are worse than on the reservation. I was like, you know, there's more Christians in Kayenta than there are in all of Phoenix. 130,000? How is that possible? And so it's been great. We've had 14 people obey the gospel in the last 12 months. And so God has really been doing a great, great, great work. And it just seems like the timing, you know, the timing. Evan has talked about this, that just the timing of what happened with Chase and the timing of people's jobs and the timing, it just seeing God's fingerprints all over that. On Wednesday nights, right now, we meet every Wednesday night in our home. We have adult Bible class, and then downstairs, kind of in the you know how there's a formal living room, kind of a den or whatever they call it. So the children are there, and then sometimes we have the teens in one of the bedrooms. So we just all meet every Wednesday night at our house. And then on Thursdays, we have a devotional where we're practicing songs. We have a short lesson and prayers, and we'll just spend 1 month at Stephanie's house, 1 month at Evan and Crystal's apartment, 1 month at Stenson's apartment, and so every month we're just at somebody else's house, and it's pretty cool because you get to know people and their families, you get to know their situation, and so this is at Stephanie's, and man, it's a small, probably like this area right here. And, you know, we've had 30 people, 40 people just like stacked in there. Kids are on the floor. And you just crowd on in, sit on laps and sing out. And it's great. So the singing has gotten better. We're learning new songs. And the lessons continue to try to be encouraging. It's just a great night to invite friends. A lot of times people will come on those nights. It's not a church building. It's in somebody's home. And this is where we meet at on Sundays, on the Salt River Reservation. They have a community center. And so we rent this community center, and it's a big facility. It's got a stage. It's got tables and chairs. Over here on this side, it's got a kitchen, you know, like a cafeteria-style kitchen. And in the so the adults meet there. And behind the curtain, that's where the teenagers, they meet behind the curtain. And then the kids, they meet in the very back. And so we set up a table in the back. And then when we have the real little ones, we put the tables like a corral. And so you put them in there. And that way they can't run out. But it's been good to see that. This is the corral. And you can see the little sheep right there inside. And it's been great because my two oldest girls, they will help to watch the little ones. They'll help watch over them and teach them songs and work with them. And that's been encouraging to have the whole family helping to do the Lord's work. We're thankful for their desire to do that. Just real quickly, some of the things that we've done, we try to get involved in the community. And they have community events, and we'll just go try to be a part of it. There's the group from Bear Valley when we did door knocking, and we had good success. I was really surprised. We had one person obey the gospel, and I think we set up 5 Bible studies with 5 people that only one of them became a Christian, but who knows what may happen from there. They did a great job knocking doors. And then we also started house-to-house, heart-to-heart. It's a mailing that goes into every mailbox on the Salt River Reservation, 2,000. We send out 2,000 every other month. And we have a congregation down in Brownwood, Texas that's currently helping us. But our goal is to pay for that just within the congregation and our own giving by the end of the year. So we're getting there, but this congregation said, we'll help you till the end of the year to get this out. Now, I'm thinking, we did this in Kayenta for 9 years, and we had several people become Christians. But in Phoenix, I was like, you know, there's a lot of advertising, there's a lot, just a lot. So I don't know how it's going to work. Our first issue, we had 8 responses in our first issue. And so I was like, man, that's amazing. The second issue, we had 4 more responses. So we've had a total of 12 people call in. We've had 8 people visit worship, and I've been able to study with 5 of them. And one of them has continued to come off and on. And so who knows what can happen if that just keeps plugging away at a community, and maybe we'll try to get some inroads into this tight-knit community down on the Salt River Reservation. We've also gotten into the reservation by volunteer coaching. I did this for a little while. There's one of my youngest daughter playing basketball, and I was the coach. So that's a YMCA that's over on the reservation, and I got to know some people that way. We've had devotionals. We have them in our house. We've had them outside. It's a little bit hot right now in Phoenix, but normally outside we'll set up a fire and sit around and sing and just get to know one another better. So it's been encouraging. And then finally, just the way that word of mouth works on the reservation. If somebody's up on the reservation and they're coming down to visit their family members, they're saying, "Where do you guys worship at?" And they come down and they worship with us. Kelly is from Kayenta, and he is a brother up there, and he does a great, great job. But when he comes down to Phoenix, every once in a while he'll stop in and worship with us. And so others will do the same thing. But I had maybe just a couple of minutes. Are there any questions that anybody has, something that maybe wasn't quite clear, or just something that you wanted to ask? We got just maybe just a few minutes. Nada. Clear as mud. All right. Yes.
When the college-age people leave the reservation, do they usually go back to the reservation, or do they go somewhere else?
A lot of times they stay. There's a lot more people that would like to go to the reservation that can't because of the lack of jobs. But there are more people that would like to go back if there were more jobs. But there are several that do get a degree and then go back to the reservation, especially teachers. A lot of teachers, they'll go back and do a good job that way. But wouldn't you say that most people stay? Most people have, because of the job situation. Good question. Anything else? Well, we just want to say thank you again to this congregation. You have supported us when there was nothing to see. We just sort of said, this is what we'd like to do. And you got behind us. And we are very thankful for that. And I hope that you're encouraged to see that you're helping. You are a part of this. And your prayers mean a lot. And I hope that you will continue to feel a part of this. And next time you're out visiting, come see us. Come and worship with us. That's a great thing about this mission work, is you can just drive over there and see us, or even hop on an airplane and it won't take too long to get there. So thank you again.
Thank you so much.